Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Praise the Lord. Two years ago, I started this session on the errors of the critical Greek text. And my first session 2 years ago, I made it through Matthew and Mark. Last year, I got through Luke and John. This year, I'm going to start in the book of Acts. But I want to refer back to something in John before we do start there. I have notes down here, so all the notes of the scriptures I'm referencing are in my notes. So you can pick them up after I am finished here. Now, not all the changes that Westcott and Hort have made are in these notes. I just picked some of the main ones. It would take years and years to go through every single change that they made. Some of them are very subtle, and the subtle notes take a lot longer to discuss than the more obvious ones, and I would quickly run out of time. Number two, why do I go after Westcott and Hort's text? Because it affects every single modern translation of the Bible. Now, when I go after a modern translation of the Bible, any one of them, people could easily say, okay, I won't use that one, I'll just pick another one. I want to go after the source of the error in all the modern translations of the Bible. Because if I can convince them of that, then the only way they can go back to is the King James Bible, which is the most accurate English translation that we have. So my goal is to go after the heart of the matter. Because when you kill the heart, the whole rest of it dies. Now, I like to throw a fastball, but I also like to throw curves. And when you throw a fastball, a good hitter knows exactly where that ball is coming, and he's going to go for it. And it's the fastballs that get knocked out of the park. But the curveballs is the ones that sneak up behind him, and that's why I'm going after, again, the Westcott and Hort text. I want to throw a curve, because if I can attack the text and get them to agree that the text is wrong, then I can say, do you realize your Bible has been translated from that incorrect text, that corrupt text? Garbage in, garbage out. It doesn't matter how good a job the translator did. If he's handling a corrupt text, his translation is going to be corrupt. Not because he's a bad translator, but his source material is defective. So that's the key of the issue here. And Westcott and Hort have done a great disservice to the things of God and the Word of God by their wicked deeds that they have done. Now, to sell a new version of the Bible, a Bible publisher must then convince you the other versions are all bad. That's why all the attacks go on about my version is better than this version. You need this new version. At one time, years ago, almost every Bible in somebody's house was a King James Bible or a Geneva Bible. And to go and counter that, they had to make this huge attack against the King James Bible because that was the predominant Bible of the day. So a lot of times when I'm sharing about the problems with modern-day Bibles, people turn it back, right back and say, yeah, but you have that old, antique, archaic King James Bible with Elizabethan English. They don't even know what they're talking about. It's Bible English, not Elizabethan English. And we need to instruct them. So we need to have the facility to be able to do that. They have new methods called dynamic equivalence. When you look through the veil of dynamic equivalence, You will come into the playground of playing antics with semantics. And that's what they do. And we have to understand that for what it is. I want to go back before I start in the book of Acts to John chapter 7. This is so vital that we need to point it out again. John chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. Jesus said to his brethren, his brothers, "Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Westcott and Hort took one word out. It was the word yet in verse 8. They have Jesus saying, "I go not up unto this feast." And then two verses later, he goes up to the feast. That makes Jesus look like a liar. I do not want a Bible in my hands that portrays my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a liar. That is a disgrace. And I won't even have a Bible like that. The audacity of them to remove that word, making Jesus tantamount to a liar. We need to understand that and point that out to people. Now, I'm not going to go through every single verse that I have listed here because I would run out of time before I even got through the book of Acts. But I want to start on the key ones that I want to look at. And I'm going to just name the verses. They are all down here on the notes. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." The Westcott and Hort text removes, "according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ." Now, we believe in a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is pertinent to our understanding of Scripture, because we are also going to be raised as he was raised. In fact, spiritually, when he was raised, we were raised together with him and are seated at the right hand of the Father in the realm of the Spirit. But they denied the bodily resurrection of Christ. And because of that, they eliminated those verses that pertain to that. That alone would throw the whole Bible out to me that they use. Now, let's look at, and again, I'm just picking key verses here. Acts 8:36. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Westcott and Hort took out, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Well, they believed in infant baptism. The Bible says that you must believe before baptism. Baptism does not make you a believer. Belief causes us to be baptized in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believing comes first. Westcott and Hort didn't like that. They took it out. Now let's go down to Acts 10:6. "He, Peter, lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." This is the message that was given to Cornelius. The Lord was speaking to Cornelius, said, "Send to Peter, send to Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee words what thou oughtest to do." They eliminated that. We jump down to 10:32, recounting the event. And he said, "Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." In both instances, the speaking and the words is eliminated by Westcott and Hort. How are we saved? Through hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They are a works people. Westcott and Hort were sacerdotalists in many ways. They had a strong affiliation to the Roman Catholic Church and loved many of the Roman Catholic Church's false doctrines and their ways. And because of that, they had a works-based religion. Our religion is not works-based. We work because we're saved. We don't work to get saved. And it's words that come to us that bring us to salvation in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They eliminated that in both of those verses. Acts 20 and 25. And behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul is talking about where he's going. They took out of God. So they have Paul preaching the kingdom. Well, what kingdom? There's many kingdoms out there. What kingdom was Paul preaching? He was preaching the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that counts. They removed the words of God in their Greek text. Acts 28 and 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. They took out, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. Now, that is a historical event. And they, by eliminating that historical event, are attacking true history. All history counts. All the events that occurred in the Bible are important for us to know. God is just not superfluous in words and putting in extraneous things that we don't need to know. Every word of God needs to be there. And you don't dare not tamper with even one of them. Jesus talks about a jot or a tittle, let alone words and paragraphs and phrases. Let me go back to the beginning here. I just want to reiterate something. According to Dr. Scribner, the Westcott and Hort critical text differs from the Textus Receptus by 9,970 Greek words. That's major. That's not minor. 9,970 Greek words that are added, subtracted, or changed in some way. These changes would be roughly equivalent to the amount of text found in 1st and 2nd epistles of Peter. That's a big chunk of the Bible that's being removed volumetrically. This would modify a serious accumulative portion of the New Testament. The critical text is much shorter in length than the Textus Receptus, thus much of God's Word has been left out of their corrupt manuscript. Which words? Well, most people will never know due to their ignorance or lack of understanding regarding this very serious issue. The various titles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in their critical text have been either eliminated partially or entirely with neither rhyme nor reason. Just about everywhere that the title of our Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in one way or another, they have altered it, changed it, or deleted it. Some of their changes, while not directly affecting doctrine, as we just shared, do change the historical record, however. And I want history to be correct. And then again, not all translations include all the following changes that were made by Westcott and Hort in their critical Greek text. However, all modern translations, bar none, do include many of those changes. Now, Acts 28 and 29. And when he had said these words, this is about Paul, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. They eliminated the entire verse. Now we'll move into the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. They eliminated the words of Christ. So they have them preaching a gospel, but it is critical that we understand that Paul preached the gospel of Christ, not just good news, the good news of Christ. Acts 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. They remove the word wickedness. So I guess wickedness is okay in their light. Romans 1:31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. They remove the word implacable. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. They removed of the gift before righteousness. We have to understand, and we fully are cognizant and aware of in our salvation as true Christians, that the righteousness that's given us of God is a gift. We didn't earn it. He earned it for us. We didn't work for it. It was a gift given to us. And we have to never forget, we are who we are, who God says we are, all by the work of Jesus Christ, not our own. And it is a gift. Salvation is a gift. The mercy of God is a gift. The grace of God in our life is a gift. And the righteousness that God gives us is His own righteousness, and it is a gift. And they had the audacity to take out the word of a gift, thinking we earned it ourselves, or we own it from something we've done. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They removed who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, there's a little modifier there. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you put a period there, that means we can do whatever we want if we're in Christ Jesus. But there's a caveat. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have to remember and retain that. That belongs in the Bible. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They removed the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So in their rendition, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are them that bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel of peace is removed. The feet of them that bring it, the deliverers, are removed. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no word of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. They remove that last phrase. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. God is not redundant. He says things for a reason. You know, when Jesus says, I'm going to tell you this, but he says it in this way, verily or truly, I'm going to tell you this. But then he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Is he just mincing words? He is saying, pay attention. Pay very close attention. Pay very, very close attention to what I'm about to say. God is emphasizing something. How dare anyone think they have the audacity to remove God's emphasis on His own word? Romans 13:9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They remove, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, who are they to tamper with the Ten Commandments? Who are they to dare to tamper with the Word of God and what God commands us to do? The audacity of them to remove something that is staunchly in the Bible. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Three things there. They removed two of them. They took out, or is offended, or is made weak. Romans 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. They took out the entire verse. In fact, Romans 16:25-27, they took out from there and moved it to the end of Romans chapter 14. So now they're relocating Scripture, let alone altering it, changing it. Now they're moving its position in the God-breathed, inspired Word of God. Now we'll go to the book of Corinthians. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They took out the word man's. They have him just saying was not with enticing words of wisdom. We better use wisdom when we preach. We better have the knowledge of God and know how to apply the knowledge. You know, knowledge is just the amassing of knowledge. Wisdom is how to use it, when to apply it. And we don't do it in man's wisdom. I look at some of these evangelists on TV, it just terrifies me. I shudder at what they say. I am so disgusted and disappointed that people are watching that stuff, thinking it's the Word of God and the anointing of God. It is pure man's wisdom. It is purely manipulation of people to drain their money and to make them feel good. It's a feel-good religion, and it's no religion at all. I'm just concerned with what I see some of that stuff going on. It is not man's wisdom that we preach in. It's God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are not carnal, but for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? They took out and divisions. Most of the divisions in churches today is due to the carnality of people. There's all kinds of infractions and divisions and strife going on there that is constantly dividing. And that's Satan's way, to tear down and divide, tear down and divide, tear down and divide. Cause so many types of churches and structures and establishments that people who are unsaved don't know where to go. And they think, I don't know where to go, but neither do they. Look at the division and the strife and the confusion that's out there. So no wonder people are in a state of confusion, because that's the way the devil works. He confuses people. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And they removed "and in your spirit, which are God's." We need to glorify God not only in our body, but in our spirit. People should be seeing us and say, there's something spiritually alive about them. I want to know what they have. 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. They changed the word husband to brother. So they have, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the brother. Well, what brother? Any of the brothers. You know, God made us together. When you're joined together, you are one. One in spirit with your husband and your wife, you are together. So my wife does not consult other brothers for information. She consults her husband. Now, they go on in verse 7:14. For the unbelieving husband, I'm sorry, I already just did that. It's the next one. 10:28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They removed, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Were they deists? Did they think God just created this earth and then walked away from it and just let it all run itself? That's what's implied here. No, this earth is the Lord's, and it is the fullness thereof belong to Him, and He is watching over it with His ever-watching eye all the time. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember, Westcott and Hort were strongly aligned to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, and they were sacerdotalists. Now notice this. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. They removed that. Now the Catholic tradition, because I was raised Catholic, was you took the host in your mouth, and that was the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, they proclaimed, and you dare not chew on it, touch it with your teeth, you're to swallow it whole. That's what we were taught. And when we were kids, when we went to Mass every day, which we had to do in the Catholic Church, when we came down that aisle from communion, the nuns would watch us. If any of us were moving our mouth, we would get slapped silly. for chewing on our Lord. This is the way we were raised up. And Westcott and Hort believed in that. And they said, take and eat. They removed it, which is broken. They removed the word broken for you. 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. They removed the word this. This cup, the cup of our Lord, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, is very meaningful to us. We have to understand that by his shed blood, we receive forgiveness of sins. And by his broken body, we receive healing, the Bible tells us. 11:27. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. They removed this from bread. Just like they removed this from the cup, they removed this from the bread, taking the focus off of the very presence of communion and what the Lord's Supper is all about. 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. They removed the word unworthily, which was an adverb modifying the methodology of which we were taking of the Lord's Supper. And then they removed the word Lord's from the body. So they have it, he that eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body. He that eateth and drinketh damnation to himself? Doesn't even make sense when you take the word unworthily out of there. It's the manner in which they were doing it, not the doing of it, but they have the doing of it as incorrect here. It makes no sense whatsoever, but none of their stuff does. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. They remove the words the Lord. So they have it, the first man is of the earth, earthly, the second man is from heaven. What man? It's the Lord that we're talking about here. They took the Lord out of it. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. They removed the words, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Again, they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. They didn't believe in our bodily resurrection. So they removed this portion of the verse that talks about this body, meaning the corruption, will put on incorruption, talking about the bodily resurrection. Chapter 16, verse 22. And if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. They removed the word Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema maranatha. What Lord? The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's one instance of their tampering with the titles of Jesus. I just wanted to bring that one up because it's so important. The book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? They remove the words that you should not obey the truth. Bewitching is there to cause you to not obey the truth. They wanted that struck out, so they took it out. Chapter 4 and verse 7 of Galatians. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God through Christ. We are heirs of God through Jesus Christ. They remove some words here and switch some. Their reading is, then an heir through God. They took Christ right out of the picture. We are an heir of God because of Jesus Christ. And we dare not ever forget that. It's Christ that brings us to God. We don't go to God ourselves. We don't bypass Jesus Christ. There is no name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved than that of Jesus Christ. We cannot go directly to the Father, but only through Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the one. And they removed him from that verse, doing a great disservice, and could really fool people that they can go direct to God. You know, the Islam people, they can go right to God. We have the same God. No, we don't. Allah is not my God. Allah is not the God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have a different God. Now they may think we have one God. The Christian God and the God of Muslims are the same. No, they're not. Not at all. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. They took out adultery. Wiped it out. 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They took out murders, removed it. 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. In other words, a new creation. They took out in Christ Jesus. We have to be in Christ Jesus to receive the benefits of God. You remove Christ Jesus, you remove the benefits, you remove the only avenue to God. And they were prolific in doing that throughout their text. 6:17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. They took out the word Jesus. So they have, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches about a thing called stigmata, where some of their most holy, if you will, saints bear the marks of Jesus on their back miraculously. That is garbage, and if it happens, it's demonic. I'll tell you that. No man alive is worthy to bear the marks of Jesus Christ on his back in the form of a stigmata, thinking that he suffered for the sins of the world, that you were also holy enough to suffer for the sins of the world. He's the only one. So the stigmata thing is garbage. Now, it is the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means when I testify and serve Jesus, and I make Jesus my Lord, and I'm doing His work and His will in this earth, people are going to come against me. I may be persecuted. I may be beaten. It is not to judge the sins of the world. It is not to suffer the sins of the world. It is only because I'm suffering because Jesus is my Lord. And I don't care what happens, I am not going to deny His Lordship. And the things that Paul went through, you look at the devil trying to get at Paul. I mean, he would go into a town, preach the word, be ridiculed, be persecuted, be beaten, be put in jail. He would finally get out of that town, and they would come following him from that town and be waiting for him in the next town. That's what he's talking about, the marks of the Lord Jesus. He was beaten multitudes of times, not to bear the sins, but because he suffered, because Jesus was his Lord. That's the suffering we're talking about. See, they took the word Lord out. That totally changes that. I got so excited I lost my place. Okay. Book of Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. They took out submit yourselves. You see, we have to submit ourselves. Submission doesn't come automatically. You have to work at it. And they remove, submit yourselves. And then in 5:24 and 25, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. They took out their own from husbands. So they also took out your from wives. So this is the way their scripture reads. So let the wives be to husbands. Well, I thought it was their own husband. No, just a husband. Any old husband will do. Let their wives be to husbands in everything. Husbands, love wives. Not your wife. Love wives. I love all the wives. See what they do? Promiscuity running rampant in their version of the Bible. The book of Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. They removed of his flesh and of his bones. Again, the bodily resurrection thing. They're trying to do away with that by limiting mentions of it. The book of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. They took out the word Christ. So in their version, I can do all things through which strengtheneth me. Through what? They removed Christ. That's the key. They removed the key. The book of Colossians. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They removed "and the Lord Jesus Christ." I am glad that I have peace with God. I am also glad I have peace with Christ. I want to know both of them, not just the one of them. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They removed through his blood. Without a blood sacrifice, there's no remission. They took out through his blood. Again, they're works-based in their head. They like works. They want to earn it. You can't earn it. To remove through it, that one verse right there would have me throw that Bible right out the window. That being missing. To remove through his blood. Colossians 2:2-3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, notice the verse there. The full assurance of understanding. I don't want a partial understanding of the things of God. I want full assurance of the things of God. And the scripture goes on to say, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And then it says, and of the Father and of Christ. Well, they're both God. So why does God say, and of the Father, and of Christ? You know, there is a mystery of God, just a general mystery of God. Who is God? What is God all about? But then there's also a mystery of, well, he's a Father. But he's not only the eternal, creative God of all things, he's a Father God. The heart of the Father. I want to know that. When I read through the Old Testament, I was sort of terrified of God. You know, I see this guy, don't mess with him. And then I see Jesus, you know, he's the nice guy. He comes through, he's got mercy and forgiveness and all that. He's the same. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They are one and the same. And the same God, the Father in the Old Testament, the same Jesus that was manifest in the Old Testament, he came through with wrath too. And we have to understand things. There is the mystery of God, but we need to know that mystery and the fullness of it. We also have to know God as our Father. We have to know Jesus Christ, his Son, as our Savior. We need all of it. Book of Colossians 3:6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of obedience. They removed on the children of obedience. Just having the wrath of God coming. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They removed from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that could be like Paul is giving them this peace. When they remove that. No, Paul is saying, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took that out. 2:15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Paul's talking about the Judaizers here. Notice what he says. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets? They took out their own. They just have them killing prophets. What prophets? It was their own prophets they killed. Book of 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. They took out the word wise. They just have the only God. Well, our God is a wise God. And I want to know he's a wise God, that I can totally trust in his knowledge and his wisdom. 3:3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. They struck out, not guilty of filthy lucre. A lot of the TV evangelists are guilty of that by far. They are just wanting to get into your pockets and convince you one way or another that you need to give to them to please God. That is filthy lucre run amok, run across the airwaves. They removed it from their version of the scripture. 5:4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Uh-oh. Okay. 5:3? I'm done? Okay. We will close here. I just close with this. For that is good and acceptable. There are things that are acceptable. I want to know the things of God are good and acceptable to God. God bless you. And my notes are here for you to grab later.